God always knows what he's doing, even when it doesn't seem like it. Hello everyone, I'm so glad that you're able to join me today on Steeping in the Word. We will be looking at Romans 8, 20 and 21. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, he didn't botch it. He created well. After each day, he saw that what he had created was good. And after he had made man and completed his creation, he saw that it was very good. So here, when we see God subjecting the creation to futility or frustration or vanity, we wonder what he's doing. We look around and we see all sorts of suffering and evil, and we wonder, God, why did you let this happen? But God always knows what he's doing. God didn't make a mistake in creation. When we look around, we often question what good can come of any of it. But Paul carefully writes this section. He starts it with verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. So in verse 20, when he says the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, he's saying that God placed it under his control. God could not allow sin to continue unabated. God told Adam and Eve that if they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that they would surely die in that day. But he was gracious and allowed them to continue living, albeit a half-life, but he allowed them to leave the garden and wait for a better day. He promised pain and suffering, but he also promised that one day the offspring of Eve would crush the serpent's head. And when the destruction of rain came forth on the earth, because the evil hearts of men were evil all the time, he did not destroy the whole earth, but he preserved and protected part of that earth in an ark of his own design. He saved Noah from the flood, not because Noah had anything wonderful in himself, but because God wanted to redeem his work. That's what it says at the end of verse 20 and into 21, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from the bondage to corruption. God did not just abandon his project as a mistake. He allows the futility, the frustration, the vanity of this life to point to something better. It's going to be set free from this bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. The salvation of God is not just fire insurance. It's not just the protection and comfort of the individual. It's the revealing of the brand new kingdom that God has made for us and is making for us. We will be set free as a whole world from the bondage to corruption, and we will be free in the glory of the children of God. God will destroy all the evil, but he brings forth the good fruit that has been sown in trials and tribulations. God does not work as humans do. We often want instant gratification and immediate relief. One person says this, the righteousness of God's kingdom is the product of God's reign in the human heart. God must reign in our lives now if we are to enter the kingdom tomorrow. It is not just an instantaneous change that happens. God plants in our hearts a seed that grows, a seed of faith, and we become more and more dependent upon him. We don't seek as Christians comfort in this world. We seek comfort in the vindication of God's creation. God will buy back this world, but he's going to do so at his own pace, so that we might fully see his power. He will reign in our hearts fully one day, but he seeks to bring us not just externally under his power, but in our souls. He wants us to love him entirely. The best apologetic, the best defense of the faith, is the reality of this suffering in the world. When things are good, we forget God. And when things are bad, we just want him to fix them. We never actually want God himself unless he has instilled in our hearts a true desire for him alone. So this time, while we fight in vanity and futility and frustration, this time is for us to learn faithfulness. It's for us to learn just how much he loves us. He loves us enough to discipline us, as Hebrews says. He loves us enough to let us need him rather than just fulfill our earthly desires that do not actually satisfy. Do not merely seek the comfort of fire insurance salvation, but look forward to the day when God will come back in wrath and fury and destroy all evil, cleansing his earth and bringing forth new life in all things for his glory. Let's pray. Father, help us to seek only you, not just the gifts you've given us. Help us to look for your power and not just what we think this world needs. Make us your children more and more each day, so that the world around us that is perishing and suffering might also join with us in our joyful song as we sing of what you have done for us. Let the purposelessness and vanity and futility of this world be our biggest foot in the door for preaching the purpose of your gospel, that we might reclaim what we were made for, only in your Son. Amen.